And now it's time for the Wild Side News with your host, Sydney Wildsmith.
Just the other day, I commented to someone that at least the hurricane season was over. Wrong. Hurricane Wilma is on its way into the Gulf Coast with projections for landfall in Florida. Wilma is the biggest so far. It's like someone is trying to give us no excuse whatsoever to ignore the warnings. Will anyone benefit from this? Actually, in today's show, we will announce a real opportunity for you to win $3,000 if you put together the best answer. There is a little catch, and you'll find out what that is when your Voice of the Earth continues here on the Wild Side News.
Welcome back to the Wild Side News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
It's a lot of hard work being in the news business. I had this great show planned that was going to take our minds off the disasters sweeping around the world, and then out of the blue water of the Atlantic, Hurricane Wilma materializes. It's true, no one can prove that global climate change is actually happening because climates change by their very nature. Global warming is now a term that no one wants to hear about because the debate is as challenging as the apparent results. But below all the brouhaha are some of the facts that science cannot debate. CO2 is increasing in our atmosphere. We have had three of the hottest years on record in the last four, and we just set a record for most hurricanes in a single season. And so, today, we accept the hard-edged truth that such is the state of the world, and give ourselves a little break. I'm sure that's okay with most of you. So during our first segment, following the news, we're going to check in at two national parks to hear how the animals are adapting to the changes, actually the natural changes, that happen this time each year as winter approaches. So it's up to the Badlands of South Dakota, then down to the ancient dwellings of Chaco. Now here's something fun. Challenging, and if done right, could really help turn our country around, but most important to you, do it right, and you've got a $3,000 bill in your pocket. That's absolutely true. We helped to launch a great idea sponsored by EI2025.org, which is holding an audition for songwriters to write the best tune for tuning up our energy future. It's open to anyone, and that includes you. And then, in segment three, I'm demanding that each of you do exactly what I say, because it will get you so in touch with things that matter. And it's so easy, and this is the time to do it. I'm conducting my fourth on-air art class to get you to take a walk, take a look at your changing world, choose some leaves, and learn to draw them. Now don't cop out on me, stick with me on this one. You'll be glad you did. So we best throttle up and get on to the news, and then on with the show. So first, the news. In a recent Harris poll sponsored by the Wall Street Journal, Americans overwhelmingly agree that protecting the environment is important and standards cannot be too high. Nearly three-quarters of U.S. adults surveyed supported strict protections. The same poll concludes that 71% of those responsible for environmental problems are large corporations, while at the same time, 63% said the general public is not doing its share. Water pollution topped the list of concerns, with air pollution and global warming next in rank. The survey also concluded that 42% of Americans feel that environmental groups are doing more than their share, while 44% said the media was doing less than their share. And while only 12% of respondents classified themselves as environmentalists, 58% said they were sympathetic to environmental concerns. The Senate Energy Committee voted Wednesday to open the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge in Alaska to oil drilling as part of a broad budget bill to help fund the federal government. In an end-around move, the energy panel agreed to attach the ANWR drilling provision to the budget bill because it cannot be filibustered. The provision was passed 13-9, with all Republicans and two Democrats, Mary Landrieu and Daniel Akaka, voting in favor of the bill. Democratic leaders are expected to raise objections to the bill's provisions. Although the bill authorizes no more than 2,000 acres of land usage in the ANWR area, the impact can be very widespread as pipelines can form a matrix extending for many miles while taking up little land. The bill, which has been touted as a means to help the U.S. meet its oil and energy needs, amazingly includes a provision which permits selling of Alaskan oil to China or other foreign nations. Democrat Ron Wyden introduced a proposal to ban such transshipment, but his proposal was defeated. The Senate is expected to debate the budget bill next week and vote on the bill the following week. Last week, the Wildside News reported on the policy changes, which were written by Assistant Deputy Interior Secretary Paul Hoffman, that promoted widespread increases in motorized vehicles such as snowmobiles and all-terrain vehicles on public lands. However, after review, the National Park Service has backed off of the Hoffman changes, releasing a draft proposal which maintains and protects more of the historic intent of protecting national parks in a relatively pristine condition. The Hoffman proposal would have expanded the use of snowmobiles and all-terrain vehicles on federal lands, and it proposed that in order for activities to be prohibited in parks, they must be something that irreversibly harms the parks instead of only harming them. Park Service officials said the new drafts would leave current snowmobile and off-road regulations in place, and the word irreversibly has been removed. The new policy will be reviewed by the Senate Energy Subcommittee on National Parks November 1st. In an aggressive push by the Bush administration to open more public land to oil and gas production, the Interior Department has quit conducting environmental reviews and seeking comments from local residents every time drilling companies propose new wells. These relaxed permitting restrictions will apply to BLM lands close to existing projects, which are less than 150 acres and no more than 5 acres in any one spot where nearby drilling has occurred in the past 5 years. The new policies will streamline the permitting of hundreds of new geothermal, gas, and oil wells and are targeted for quick implementation on open ranges and the foothills of the Rocky Mountains, specifically the Powder River Basin of Wyoming, the Uinta Basin of Utah, the San Juan Basin of New Mexico, and areas adjacent to Colorado's Ancients National Monument. Meanwhile, new reports from Europe and now Russia indicate that the bird flu is spreading quickly. And as we speak, yet another major hurricane, perhaps the largest on record, in the Atlantic, pokes its swirling chaos into the Gulf of Mexico again. And that's the news. And a few reminders. We've got a whole lot of new listeners. Now, if you want to receive our weekly email that gives you a heads up on what the upcoming show is about, I want you to send me an email at wildsidenews@cox.net and let me know you want to get the weekly update. That's wildsidenews@cox.net, wildsidenews@cox.net. And feel free to tell me a little bit about you, what you'd like to hear, some story ideas. I love to hear from my listeners. Now, we've got a great show. Change. It's being forced upon us at such rapid speed it sometimes is hard to adapt. Well, in the wild creatures are having to adapt to the changes that the seasons bring. And I talked with a couple of national park folks about what they're noticing from the field. We begin in Badlands National Park in South Dakota, then head on down to one of my favorite parks, what many refer to as Chaco Canyon.
My name is Aaron Kay. I'm a park ranger at Badlands National Park in South Dakota. And, observations that I see throughout the course of the year, especially from summer into winter, I think most noticeable would first be bird life. And, of course, migrant birds that you begin to see moving through, coming from the north, heading south. spending nights over on some of the stock dams throughout the area, not just in the park, but outside of the park. Noticing the disappearance of many of the songbirds, turkey vultures leaving for the season and heading south. The reduction in the bat population as they migrate out of the area. And some distinctive species that in the avian aspect that you might see changing here through the season would be all the migrant waterfowl, but one most remarkable would be the sandhill cranes. And usually sometime around mid-October we'll see them flying across the sky, wheeling through the air, trying to gain altitude and hear their chortling as they pass us by, and it's a sign of winter soon to come. Other things we notice in the park include, of course, the changing of the coats with the animals, going from a thinner winter coat to a thicker, or a thinner summer coat to a winter coat that's a little bit thicker. Animals will often move from summer areas into winter areas. Bighorn sheep tend to rut in the early winter, and we begin to see them across from the visitor center in one of their main rutting areas starting sometime in mid to late October. Populations like the bison in the park, of course, their coats increase in thickness. You see the calves change from their orange color as newborn calves into a more brownish color as the winter turns. And in addition to that, of course, you see the antlers growing on the bucks in the rutting season for the deer, both the whitetail and the mule deer.
Just curious, too, in terms of sort of movements and behaviors, the summer is kind of a lazy time, and different animals are able to find food probably more easily. Just curious if you're observing any sort of changes in as food sources become more scarce.
Well, you know, that's actually a good question. You know, what you don't really see a lot of movement in that sense other than maybe particular food sources that are still green. So you'll see animals gravitating to areas you know, like riparian areas or wetland areas along creek drainages, maybe into some of the river valleys in the area. And some of the last green grass in the area typically is along the sides of the roads. So one of the things that we see an increase of around here at this time of the year is deer commonly along the sides of the road into the evening. And unfortunately outside of the park, probably one of the number one roadkill that we begin to see in the fall into the winter are deer, and it's often because they're feeding on that still green grass along the edges of the road.
You mentioned that bats are migrating. How do you observe that?
Well, we don't really see the bats migrate. What we notice, of course, is, you know, under every light here in the housing area and around the park, you know, during the summer months, you'll see the insects, and you know, spinning underneath the light, and you'll see bats weaving in and out of that light shaft, picking up bugs. And of course, as fall comes into play, you see less and less of those critters. And about this time of the year, we're really only seeing just occasional bats anymore. I don't see many under the lights, but on a regular night, you might see as many as a half a dozen at each light, just kind of swooping in and out of it, going after moths and other insects.
And how is your the weather shaping up at this point in the season?
Well, this year, you know, we had a pretty good moisture. We've been in a drought for a number of years. This year we had good moisture in the spring, and that kind of carried through the summer. What we're seeing as far as temperatures is kind of an extension of Indian summer. We're at a low 80s today here in the Badlands, and that's kind of warm even for October. Conditions have been relatively dry. We have had no real hard freezes as of yet, so the colors that are slowly changing on some of the deciduous trees is slower than usual. Some years you'll see it happen right after a hard frost, and this year without that, we've just kind of seen a slow trend to the color of yellow and leaves slowly kind of drifting off the trees around the park.
Now that's kind of unusual for your area, isn't it?
Usually we get some sort of cold snap that comes through and kind of tends to really kick things into gear, getting, you know, of course, plants and animals ready for winter. But this year, the two big storms passed to the north and the south of us. Colorado got a pretty good storm about 2 weeks ago, and North Dakota got a pretty good storm more like 3 weeks ago. And we just got a little bit of rain out of it and no hard freeze. So it's a little unusual. We get temperature mood swings from as much as 50 below in the winter to 116 in the summer. And fall and spring are really nice times of the year because the temperatures are pretty moderate.
Now, are you open all year round?
Yep, we're open all year round. Scenic Loop Road in the park is about 30 miles long. It includes beautiful scenery, the park, the Badlands formations, as well as the wildlife, and a trip out onto Sage Creek Rim Road, which is a gravel road which skirts the north boundary of the wilderness area, provides views of the wilderness area, and also our bison herd, which is about almost 1,000 strong.
It's a great, amazing, rugged park that is it's appropriately called the Badlands.
That's correct. You know, Badlands are found in other places in the world. It's a geologic term, but the type site for the geologic term is right here in Badlands National Park in South Dakota.
Thanks so much for adding your voice to the Wild Side News.
You bet. My pleasure.
We continue our journey around America to see what's happening with the wild creatures, and we're focusing on national parks today. And so joining us from one of my all-time most favorite national parks in the entire universe is Brad Shattuck, who's the